Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
With the first pick
in the
1997 NBA Draft,
the Los Angeles Lakers select Irvin Magic Johnson.
The most valuable player, Magic Johnson.
Patrick Ewing.
Allen Iverson from Georgetown University.
Kyrie Irving.
Irving puts it up.
Let's go!
Kyrie Irving from downtown!
Zion Williamson.
Zion on the hammer!
Tim Duncan from Wake Forest University. LeBron James.
Oh, blocked by James! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
With the first pick, the San Antonio Spurs select.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Xfinity Mobile.
Welcome into NBA Today. We are one day away from the NBA draft. Alongside Ramona Shelburne, Austin Rivers, and Kendrick Perkins, I'm Cassidy Hubbard filling in for Malika Andrews as she gets ready to host the draft in New York City, where projected number one overall pick Victor Wembanyama has been seen all around town, guys. He got the full New York experience, including a subway ride to Yankee Stadium where he barely fit. And he threw out the first pitch, kind of, sort of. Ramona, can you remember any other prospect that had the red carpet rolled out like this for him?
LeBron? You know, I mean, I haven't seen anybody get this kind of attention since really LeBron James in terms of the level of hype around Victor Wembanyama.
Can we talk about how the ball looked like a ping pong ball in his hand?
I mean,
Are you excusing that first pitch then?
Absolutely. Yeah. He gets a pass. Absolutely.
Perk? What?
That was the first time ever probably in NBA history that we didn't seen somebody throw a pitch out that they wasn't actually playing for that city, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, at least he put something into that pitch is all I'm saying. He didn't just toss it out there.
No, he put some heat on it.
I mean, I remember going with Lonzo Ball to a Dodger game and he threw out a first pitch, but that was after he was taken by the Lakers.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Victor hadn't been drafted yet. And that's Yankee Stadium.
Exactly. Well, his New York experience is only getting started. Our Malika Andrews sat down with Wembanyama earlier this morning. We'll have her full exclusive interview coming up later on in the show. We're now joined by ESPN senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski, joining us now from Barclays Center, one day away from the NBA draft. And look, Woj, you reported that Charlotte is getting closer to a decision on what to do with the number two pick. What more can you tell us?
Cassidy, Charlotte brought back both Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson on Monday to work out, both for a second time, to have meetings with Hornets officials. But this time, outgoing majority owner Michael Jordan was in the building, met both players, watched the workouts, and ultimately he's going to have the final say on this draft pick. Now, he has agreed in principle to sell his majority share, but he will still be the governor of this team until the Board of Governors approve the new group. And so, listen, this has been a process this week in Charlotte. Brandon Miller, I'm told, has been the front runner throughout this process, and nothing yet this week has changed that. But I would still write Brandon Miller's name in pencil in Charlotte. Not quite in pen yet. We're getting closer. But this is a player who, at number two, I think potentially Charlotte sees as a multi-time all-star level wing player. And I think Scoot Henderson is also a player that they see with all-star potential, as do the Portland Trailblazers sitting at number three. But certainly Charlotte's getting closer now to finalizing their decision. And I'm told Brandon Miller still is in the driver's seat to be the second pick on Thursday night.
Very interesting that an outgoing owner is tasked with making such a significant decision. What does this mean, though, for Portland, as you mentioned, at number three, as well as with their star Damian Lillard, Woj?
Well, for Portland, listen, they're going to continue to talk with teams around the league to see, is there a deal built around that third pick and certainly potentially other assets that makes sense to give up such a valuable piece of real estate. It was a third overall pick in a draft that most see as a three-player draft. Now, history may not remember it as that, but that's where it is this week. And so I think if Portland was going to trade out of that, they're going to have to get a significant return. I think your margin of error, and especially in a smaller market like Portland, to have a rookie-scale contract with a player that you think has all-star potential, you've got to get a lot back. But certainly, they want to build around Damian Lillard. That's been their focus. Damian Lillard says he wants to continue to be in Portland. And so I think they'll go right up to the clock on Thursday night. Offers and I think outreach from teams tends to get more serious the closer you get to a deadline, whether that's the draft, whether that's a trade deadline, people start to give you their best offers. And so Portland may not have gotten the best offers that are going to come to them, but they will here in the next 24 hours or so. This is a significant decision, certainly, for this organization, for Damian Lillard's future in Portland. But certainly, if Brandon Miller is off the board at number two, I think Scoot Henderson is certainly very prominent in their plans in Portland.
A lot of big decisions to be made over the next day. Thanks, Woj. We'll see you tonight on the NBA Draft Preview Show,
Cass,
at 7 Eastern on ESPN2. All right, let's bring back the rest of our panel. Perk, do the Blazers need to make a decision between Dame or the pick?
You know what? They don't. And I think if I'm the front office of the Trail Blazers, I don't rush to try to get anything for this third pick. If they have an opportunity to get Scoot Henderson, damn it, they do it. I believe that Dame is going to be patient throughout the rest of the offseason, maybe even into training camp, to see what the front office is going to do for us, making moves to get some pieces in there to help him out to actually contend for a title. So if I'm the Portland Trail Blazers, I'm not rushing or I'm not trying to, you know, make a move and trade that pick. Scoot Henderson has a promising future. This kid could be a bright young superstar in this league. And I just think about to the draft where, you know, Danny Ainge, I believe, drafted Jason Tatum at number three. And look how that's turned out, knowing that he was going to take Jason Tatum anyway when he finessed the Philadelphia 76ers and got back the number three pick and a future round first pick. But if I'm the Portland Trail Blazers, I'm being patient. I'm not rushing to shop this pick at all if I don't get back the return I'm looking for.
Austin, if Scoot is there at number three, how do you decide between Dame or Scoot, or do you?
I mean, it really just comes down to what direction Portland's trying to go in. If you're trying to rebuild, I think you go with Scoot, and you know, you have a young core there. You have Anthony Simons, you know, Jeremy Grant is still pretty young. Shannon Sharpe showed a lot of promise last year. You have a lot of young talent there that you can kind of rebuild. This is an opportunity for Portland to essentially do what they did years ago when they brought Dame in and have a restart at a very talented, promising point guard. And I'll say selfishly, as a competitor and as a guy who came in the same class as Damian, I hope he gets to somewhere where he can really go compete. I want him on a win-now team. I want to see him play really meaningful minutes. He's been playing, you know, and done everything that you could possibly do for an organization. Damian Lillard's done that. So I hope they take Scoot at three and Damian's able to move on.
Of course, Damian continues to say and reiterate that he wants to stay in Portland, but we will see. What's your reaction to all this, Ramona?
I mean, the sense I have is that Dame has not asked out, and he continues to show up in Portland. Like, everyone I've talked to there says he's been very present in Portland during this offseason. Obviously, he's been posting on Instagram from Hong Kong, where I think he's doing a tour right now. But he's been there. He's showing you with his actions and his words that he wants to stay. And so I actually think it's more likely that he stays in Portland and they continue to try to find pieces around him and to try to build around him, give him the best chance. But the question isn't always Dame or the pick. It is what are my options for either one. And so you, as Adrian mentioned, the offers that you might get for that pick or the offers you might get for Damian Lillard may not have, the best offers may not have happened yet. Okay, we still have a whole day until this draft. And so I think, you know, let's watch this very closely, because as much as you want to, you know, it seems like a choice right now between either or, it's not necessarily you make that choice right now and then decide to field offers. You see what offers are out there as they come in.
Yeah, I mean, that's just business and also, 101. No, go ahead, Perk.
Let me say this. It's going to take for them to get into the regular season or, you know, into training camp, and for a guy like Chauncey Billups, who Dame look up to say, yep, hey, bro, it's time for you to move on. That's how much Dame loves Portland, and that's how loyal he is. This guy's just cut from a different cloth. And although, you know, us, myself included, we want to see Dame on a championship team. We want to see him force his way out. That's just not what he's on right now. And so it's going to actually take a guy that he's very close to, his head coach, his mentor, and Chauncey Billups, to go up to him and say, hey, Dame, hey, bro, it's time for you to move on. But until then, I expect to see Damian Lillard in the Portland Trail Blazers uniform.
Yeah, a lot of eyes are going to be on Portland, not just tomorrow, but I think for a few weeks and maybe well into the season, on what they do with Dame and, you know, whoever they draft at number three. Coming up on NBA Today, our own Malika Andrews sat down with Victor Wembanyama for an exclusive discussion, which includes his first interactions with Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. And who are some of this year's sleepers in the draft? Jonathan Givony on the names we should be waiting to hear get called tomorrow night. And Kemp, Kobe, Jordan, some of the best rookie dunks ever. Coming up next when we return on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is presented by Xfinity Mobile, the best kept wireless secret.
Welcome back. Here with Perk, Austin, Ramona, and I'm Cassidy filling in for Malika. And let's talk about some topics around the league. Chris Paul is awaiting the finalization of the deal that could send him to Washington if a contending team does not step up to take him on. Ramona, where do the Suns, Wizards, and CP3 stand in this deal for Bradley Beal?
Well, they can keep this deal open for a number of days here. I think it makes a lot of sense. One, to do right by Chris Paul in the sense of he would like to play for a contender, and there's a sense of, well, you keep this open and see if a contender wants to make an offer here for him. The Clippers do have interest in Chris Paul. A trade in some ways would make sense because they do have the type of players with the Marcus Morris and Robert Covington and the contracts to get this done. But from what I understand, this is really not the Clippers' only option here at point guard. There's the option of bringing back Russell Westbrook. And also, there's an option of another trade with the Boston Celtics with Malcolm Brogdon, who sixth man of the year, but was coming off the bench and has been a starter at other points in his career. There's been some discussions with the Celtics and expanding the trade with the Wizards and the Celtics to include Malcolm Brogdon going to Los Angeles. And so the situation with Chris Paul, it's evolving. This trade can stay open. It can expand to multiple teams and as we go forward through the draft process and into the free agent period.
And Austin, you know, as a former teammate of Chris Paul, you know, how do you think he should take or approach his next step here with what's going on, you know, with him and D.C.?
Carefully. You know, you got to look at where Chris is at in his career at this point. He's 38 years old. He's done everything that you could do in the game of basketball except to win a championship. And, you know, he's coming off a Suns team where he's most of the postseason that he's been in and been a part of over the past couple of years, he's been hurt. I would like to see him in the Clippers uniform. I also would like to see the Clippers bring back another point guard alongside him. That way he doesn't have to carry the bulk of the minutes during the regular season. I think we all want Chris to be healthy in the postseason. And for that to happen, he needs to be playing 15 to 20 minutes a night max during the regular season. He is a guy that needs to show up in the playoffs when it matters and not during the regular season. He's done that. He's already handled that part of his career. He's not chasing all-star games. He's not trying to add to his stats. He's done everything he needs to do. I think at this point for him, he wants to compete for a championship. I think the Clippers are in place still, depending on what moves they make. You're hearing Paul George rumors, but I would like to see him in a Clippers uniform.
Well, let me just point this part out, too. They don't have to trade for him. Like, Chris Paul, if we get through this deal, and you, whenever you see this deal finally announced, that's when you realize, okay, now we're in a different phase of this of these conversations. But if we go through, the deal is announced, he could stay in Washington, which I think is a real option here, that Chris Paul could play in Washington like he did in Oklahoma City when he was a part of that Westbrook trade in the first place. Or we could enter buyout talks as this goes on and goes forward. And then that would be up to the Wizards and Chris Paul if they get to that stage. And so a team that would think about trading for him, that's $30 million you're paying to Chris Paul. But if he is available as a buyout candidate, as somebody who does a buyout in Washington and then can sign for a veteran minimum, that's a completely different conversation. And I think there would be a lot more interest in that.
Well, look, elsewhere. Yeah, Park?
No, go ahead, Cassidy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I did want to follow up and get your take on where you would want to see Chris Paul next season.
Oh, that's easy. That is easy. In L.A., but not with the Clippers. With the Lakers. With the Lakers, alongside LeBron James, one of his best friends, one of his good brothers. But it's not about their relationship when I look at Chris Paul and the Lakers. It's about CP3 and Anthony Davis. And I keep telling people, when we go back and look at Anthony Davis when the Lakers won a championship in the bubble, when they won a championship, I'm not gonna keep calling it a bubble championship, but when they won the championship, they had Rajon Rondo. Mm. And Rajon Rondo would get Anthony Davis 6 to 8 easy buckets a game. They don't have that on the Lakers right now. You put CP3 and AD in the pick and roll, now all of a sudden he's getting those lobs at the basket. He's getting those wide open 15-footers. We got to remember, Chris Paul is still one of the elite point guards in the game today. Think about who he, like, for us, the bigs that he made money and made them look great. Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Tyson Chandler when he started off in New Orleans. David West with the 15-footers off the pick and pops. Can you imagine CP3 and AD in the pick and roll? It would take so much pressure off LeBron James. And you're able to bring back Dennis Schroeder. And if the Lakers is able to sign back Austin Reeves, now you don't have to rely and play Chris Paul that many minutes. But when it comes down to the postseason, when you need him the most, he will be fresh and will be available.
Hmm. Well, we'll see if CP ends up with either LA team. As far as the Clippers, they've come up in a number of conversations, Momo, around the league. Since this team is yet to fulfill the expectations that started 4 seasons ago, how serious are these discussions?
Well, I think this time of year, and especially after the way this last season ended for them, with yet another season of not seeing Paul George and Kawhi Leonard healthy at the same time in the playoffs, we've never really seen them all the way through. And the one year we got a taste of it, they went to the Western Conference Finals. And so my sense is they still want to continue to build around Kawhi and Paul George. But you have to listen at this stage. And, you know, Kawhi, because of his injury history, I think that would be a difficult conversation to even entertain. Paul George has a lot of value to the Clippers because of the way he plays and as a defender, as a shooter, as a scorer, but he also has not been available. I think the idea of gauging interest, is it coming from them or other teams calling them about Paul? That's debatable, okay? But this time of year, you're going to hear a lot of that. But I think there's a recognition amongst the Clippers that they still do have have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And maybe the mix around them needs to be different, because even when they were healthy, that mix last year didn't feel like a championship team. But they actually have a lot of ways to improve this team. As we mentioned just a minute ago, they have options at point guard. They have contracts that are desirable. And there are other options outside of Chris Paul around the league that may be available. And keep your eye on Malcolm Brogdon, who last year when he was traded to Boston, that the Clippers were one of the teams that were an option for him as well. Toronto, the Clippers, and Boston were the options. He chose Boston. He had a bit of a say there, but I think now Boston, which was a guard-heavy team last year and may want to reconfigure the way that they approach next season, this makes a lot of sense for Los Angeles.
Well, let me say this. Kawhi Leonard is quiet in public, but he's loud behind the scenes. Okay, and when it comes down to him putting personnel and players around him and guys for him winning the championship, behind the scenes, he is very loud. And then when I say loud, very active about, hey, let's get something done. Let's get the right personnel in here. I'm trying to win now. Now, on the other hand, he has to do a better job of, you know, some of his injuries he can't control. Obviously, you know, the torn ACL, the torn meniscus this past offseason. But, again, he has to be available. But don't make no mistake about it. He's no saint behind the scenes. And if, you know, if you're a guy like Paul George, you got to be, you know, be ready, because you might get traded. You know, and it's just part of the game. But at the end of the day, this franchise is built around their best player, and that's Kawhi Leonard when healthy. He's a top five player in the league. He has shown us that time and time again when he's available on the floor. But I just needed the world to know he's no saint behind the scenes.
Well,
he'd love to get, you know, voice his opinion.
He was one of the main reasons that Paul George came to Los Angeles. You know, he wanted Paul George to come. He was an advocate for that. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget what they traded to get Paul George. Remember, they traded all types
That's
of picks.
Right.
And they got a guy named Shea Alexander down in OKC who's become one of the most elite point guards in the NBA. So I don't think Paul George is a guy that they're just going to throw out in the wind, you know, for anything just to get off him. They're both up for contract extensions. You know, this is a vital summer, I think, for the Clippers and what direction they're going to be going in. They have two guys who are, you know, I would put superstars, especially Kawhi Leonard, but they have not been able to be healthy together at the same time, with the exception of the bubble where they dropped a 3-1 lead. So, you know, I don't really know what direction this team is going in right now, but you know, I don't think it's crazy to think, you know, to shop around Paul George.
I'll tell you where they're going in 1 year, to a new arena that needs to have some stars to fill it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
With the investment they made in those two players and in that new stadium, they need their play to be loud next season, not just the talking behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
All right. Coming up next, our very own Malika Andrews sat down with soon-to-be number one overall pick Victor Wembanyama. Hear what he had to say about the pressure heading into the NBA.
What is pressure to you?
I don't really know. I've never felt pressure like in my life, even for exams, for whatever, my family, whatever. Never really felt it.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I've been playing this way for years. I've always been shooting threes, handling the ball. I didn't look up to players for me to do that. I inspired myself in doing whatever I wanted to do.
Have you had a chance to watch Victor Wembanyama play yet?
How can you miss him?
Rattles in another three.
Cheat code type vibe.
This is the cheat code.
You gotta get ready for this kid. He has the chance to be one of the best to ever play this game.
Ali's really in trouble when he comes in.
Rejected out the rim. Get that out of here. Wembanyama.
Oh, this kid is good.
Everybody's been a unicorn over the last few years, but he's more like an alien. He's for sure a generation of talent.
Victor Wembanyama is not only being described as the most anticipated prospect since LeBron James, but maybe ever. He sat down with our Malika Andrews this morning, a day before the Spurs are expected to select him number one overall, and discussed just how much pressure he feels to live up to all of the hype.
It seemed like this is where you wanted to go, that if there was anywhere in the NBA you could pick, it seemed like the Spurs had your heart. Why is that?
You know, as an athlete, as a basketball player, professional basketball player, I know, and I hear a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of information about, you know, the NBA, how it works. You know, I talk to some players, and I know that the culture isn't the same everywhere. And I think the place that matches me the most is San Antonio.
What about it matches you?
You know, the expectations, the work ethic. And I know they just created a brand new training center.
Yeah.
Probably the best in the world. You know, this is, I can't dream of anything better.
You've been dreaming of this, though, for...
Oh, yeah, for years.
A long time. to be here, to be finally in this week leading up to the draft. How has it been for you?
You know, I haven't had trouble to sleep yet, but I probably will tonight, without a doubt. Yeah, it's just so exciting, you know, seeing that all the work you've done for years, for decades almost, starts to pay off. It's really, yeah, I can't describe it.
Tell me, Victor, about your first meeting with Greg Popovich.
I haven't met him yet.
No. Have you had a conversation with him?
Yeah, I had a conversation with him. You know, I know he's a really, really nice person. I don't know much about him, but I know he's a nice person. You know, talked to him a couple times, but that's pretty much it.
You told our Robin Roberts that anyone's expectations that are put on you, they can't come anywhere near the expectations you put on yourself. Mm-hmm. What are those expectations?
It's more than just titles and MVPs and, you know, this kind of stuff. Is all that the ethics, you know, the work ethic, but also the work of the mind, you know, training your mind. I got really, really high expectations for myself. I don't leave anything. I'm trying to not leave anything behind, you know. I'm trying to make the most out of any day, you know. I don't like to say I want to build a legacy or be the greatest, you know. Right now, it's a work that's done every day.
What do you think that's going to look like? You talked about MVPs, you talked about championships. Is that the goal? Is that what you want to be able to say you are and look back on?
Yeah, someday. But as I told you, it's before trying to be the greatest in the world, I need to try to be the greatest today, you know? Mm. And then tomorrow and the next day.
So if none of this, right, being the best prospect ever, being the best prospect since LeBron James, maybe being a better prospect than LeBron James, if none of that is pressure, what is pressure to you?
You know, it's not something I feel. You know, I never feel like a weight on my shoulders. Mm. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just playing basketball. I'm having fun on the court, you know. It's just a game. You know, I don't know. I don't really know. I've never felt pressure like in my life, even for exams, for whatever in my family, whatever. Never really felt it. Hmm.
What do you say to people who say that you need to bulk up, that your build isn't for the NBA?
I don't listen. You know, it's I don't say anything to them. You know. I know what I'm capable of. You know, I know I've worked really hard to find. At the same time, I worked on one hand, I worked on the court and in the weight room, you know, to train and to get better. But on the other hand, I worked also mentally, you know, to find the good recipe for to stay healthy. And I think I'm getting closer and closer.
Part of that recipe is, I mean, we've seen the videos of your pre-game workouts, your pre-practice workouts, the grips that you do, the bear walks that you do. Why do you do all of that?
You know, when you get a little bit older, when you get mature, you realize that you learn to know yourself, you know. And I know I got a different body, and I also got a different play style, you know. I move in a really different way than any other, I hope, you know. So I can't expect to work the same as others, you know. I gotta work in new ways that suit me, that match myself. As I have a different body and play style, it's gonna be a different recipe. And, you know, it's worked in the past months, in the past years, and but it's not perfect. So it's never gonna be perfect because my body is gonna evolve. I'm gonna evolve too. I'm gonna get older, and I gotta make my routine and my exercise evolve too.
How does durability play into all this? You played in every game with the Mets 92. You played in exhibition games in Las Vegas. You played in the postseason. I know that's something that you're proud of, right? But that's not an 82 game NBA season. How do you see it translating?
Do you know how many games that adds up to?
How many games?
I don't know, like probably 50, 60.
Yeah.
In the postseason, you know, in the playoffs, it's kind of a NBA schedule. You know, we don't practice much. It's more a game than recovery, get some shots up, go in the weight room. So I like this form better.
What are you gonna miss most about France, about living in Paris?
You know, before leaving, I saw everyone in my close family, you know. 2 days in a row, I tried to reunite with them. Not one last time, but one last time before a long time, you know. So this is my family. I'm gonna miss the most. Yeah, especially, you know, my grandparents who can't really, you know, travel, take the plane and stuff. Because my cousins, you know, they're gonna be able to come and see me, but it's not the case for everyone in my family. So my family, and also, yeah, you know, the tranquility of my parents' house, my city, and the food. Yeah, I already miss the food.
What are you looking forward to more? Dunking on somebody in the NBA or your first big block?
I'd say dunking on somebody. Because blocks, I mean, for me, blocks happen multiple times a game, you know. But dunking on somebody, it's really like, it's hard to do, you know. And, yeah, dunking on somebody.
What's your message to San Antonio Spurs fans as you head there?
You know, I just feel lucky, and I just wanna thank them for already showing so much love. You know, ever since I came to the States, I've seen that I can have impact that I couldn't before. You know, and I hope I'm gonna give them as much fun as I can.
He certainly talks the talk. We'll see him walk the walk tomorrow across that Barclays stage. And in honor of the draft, we're running back the top rookie dunks of all time. And this list is ridiculous. You won't want to miss it.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I'm Malika Andrews, and with NBA free agency quickly approaching, we will have not one, not two, but three free agency specials.
It's a lot to digest.
Here are experts and analysts on where the league's biggest stars may be headed this summer.
Everybody's in play.
My dentist texted me saying, where is he going to go?
I don't know if he want to go to those other destinations.
Tune into NBA Today, June 30th from 3 to 6 and 7 to 9 Eastern. And then on July 1st from 2 to 4 Eastern, all three shows on ESPN.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Xfinity Mobile.
The 77th annual NBA Draft is tomorrow from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins at 7:30, right after SportsCenter. All right, guys, we have a whole new class of rookies about to join the NBA. Let's celebrate by running back some classics. This is the Top of the Top, brought to you by Charles Schwab, and the best rookie dunks of all time. And let's start with the top poster.
This has to be the first one. Blake Griffin.
I like this Blake dunk, but I like the Blake dunk on Perk better.
Dang. Shots fired.
That's what we all know.
He's got, what about Baron Davis?
I'm just messing
with you. This is a 99. On KG. And then Anthony Edwards. This is my on Yuta.
Oh! Do you want
There's
to
no
see
There's no fans there.
Body.
That's what's a bummer about this one. No fans.
If there were fans, they would have went wild.
Bless America.
All right, how about the top athleticism? MJ's cradle in 1984.
You know what? That's classic.
It's beyond classic. It's iconic.
Light, but it was heavy,
that's
though.
Right.
What about Kobe? 360 against the Kings in 97.
Is that young Kobe?
Yep, when he had a bunch of hair.
I didn't know if that was Kobe or Eddie Jones.
Oh, where's it?
I mean, and then we got, this is a list of GOATs. LeBron going with the windmill in 2004.
Nah.
He still does that.
You don't like this?
He still does that.
I like it, but it's a fast breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a little baby ceiling fan.
What about the top foreign boy?
Oh, my God.
Hakeem?
Look how little he is.
Oh, the duck is crazy.
I'm Sleepy Floyd. How about Manu here?
Hey.
He can do it.
That's about, in 2003.
Something about blocking a lefty. It's tough.
And then how about Ben Simmons, guys? Switching hands versus the Hawks in 2017. Man, you want him to play with this type of confidence today.
No.
Man, can we get that Ben Simmons again?
Austin, your side comments are cracking me up. How about the top two-hander,
the
Vince?
Right here.
You can't without Vince. You can't have a list without Vince.
Oh, is that Mully?
These are rookie
Best
year, by the way, just to remind people.
Time.
Dominique. On Larry Bird in 1983.
Oh, look
Don't
at the
do
contest,
that to Larry the
Legend. Good contest.
And then Shaq the backboard, as a rookie.
Yeah.
As
he did that like every night he broke a backboard. Always a delay of game.
The thing is, he did it effortless.
How about this is the last one. Top high flyer, Sean
Man.
Kemp. Yes. Double pump, Austin.
Yeah, that's tough.
And a
Grant Hill with the lefty oop in 94.
On a quick turnaround.
Man, the young Grant Hill was special. Allen Iverson, how about off a missed free throw in 97? The answer.
It's almost like they drew that
up. I mean, he gets all the way up.
For real.
Oh, I missed that Supersonics floor. Legendary. Coming up, the Thompson twins are projected to be drafted in the top 10 tomorrow night. Monica McNutt gives us an exclusive look into their journey to the league. Keep it locked right here on NBA Today.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Identical twins Amen and Asar Thompson created a dream board as nine-year-olds, which included to become the greatest NBA players of all time. Their journey to greatness took them from California to Florida and eventually Atlanta, and now look to become the first siblings to be selected as top 10 picks in the same draft. Our Monica McNutt sat down with the Thompson family to discuss how their dreams led them to a new reality come Thursday.
We'd go hiking in Lake Chabot, probably do like a 4 mile hike. And we had this 40 pound weight vest, so we'd all switch like every half mile or so. Then we'd go home, we'd do more school. And then in our practices, we'd always start every practice with running 2 miles, and I'd have them always dribbling with their left hand because they're right-handed.
There's a good left, yep.
When did you realize that it was going to be basketball for them?
Well, really before they were even born, because like all my kids were gonna play basketball.
Troy Thompson introduced his identical twin sons, Amen and Asar, to the game early. The coaching and workouts were intense with a singular focus, be the best.
My dad used to make us meditate, you know, just so I could tell myself like what I want out of the workout.
He always stressed defense. We would be doing slides around this high school called Castlemont in Oakland, the track. It sounds like you need to call Child Protective Services right now, but I mean, it worked.
The preparation also included charting a path to their goal of becoming the best NBA players in the world.
Honestly, I think I grasped it when I was like 9 because I wrote the dream board that I had in my room. Me and the men asked our mom to get poster board paper, some markers, some scissors so we could cut up stuff. And we just wrote our goals, what we need to do to achieve them.
You know, step one, I've got to do this. And then, you know, I want them to read. So you got to read for 30 minutes. You got to listen to inspirational stuff for 30 minutes. So every day they'd be doing it.
Part of the journey has been allowing them to be independent thinkers and going on a different path and not being concerned with what other people are doing.
The journey took Troy and the boys from California to Florida in 2017, where Amen and Asar could play high school basketball as eighth graders.
We had already won like all the CYO championships, already won the middle school championship. We needed the next thing.
Yeah! I stayed in California, they went to Florida. Our oldest was in Texas Prairie View, so we were just a separated family physically.
The twins attended Pinecrest School in Fort Lauderdale and thrived.
We became one of the best teams in the whole nation. Junior year, that state championship, that was kind of crazy. We were down by like 8 with 40 seconds in overtime. Then it was a tie game, and then we went to double overtime, and we won the state championship.
Pinecrest Panthers are the state champions!
Is there a picture that is your favorite and always puts a smile on your face?
It's a picture of Amen and Asar when they were maybe 6 or 7, with Asar hugging Amen and looking back. That picture, years later, was them winning state championship. So that's my favorite picture, that brotherly love.
In 2021, after their junior year of high school, the 18-year-olds moved again, this time to Atlanta, to play at Overtime Elite, a professional league designed as an alternative to college basketball.
It's like they know where each one of them is at all times.
I've never been just like a college guy. Like, I've always known about all the routes. I've always been like, you know, just get to the league and kill.
Amen Thompson on the drive. Good.
To me, I haven't done anything yet. So if I look at that dream board I made when I was 9, I feel accomplished, like I'm proud of myself, but I'm not content at all.
Cross court to Asar. 3.
They kept true to what the goal was. You have to make changes along the way, but they had a dream, a belief, and I'm just proud of the fact that they've been humble throughout the course of it.
Back now with our NBA draft analyst, Jonathan Givony. And Jonathan, the Thompson twins are also looking to become the first players drafted from the Overtime Elite League. What in your mind makes them so special?
Well, Cassidy, I think we saw a lot of it in this amazing feature that we just watched. I mean, the more that NBA teams have been able to be around these twins, have them in their gyms, get to know them as human beings and watch them, you know, up close and see just what type of physical specimen these two guys are. 6 foot seven, 7 foot wingspan, arguably the best athletes in the draft. I mean, you talk about the defensive versatility that these guys have guarding point guards through power forwards. With a man, it's the point guard ability, the playmaking skills, the change of speeds, the change of direction, you know, finishing with the left hand, the right hand. I mean, these guys are elite level talents, and this is why we now have them slated fourth and fifth in our mock draft, going to Houston and Detroit at 4 and 5. So these guys have really helped themselves in the process, and you know, just the talent level behind them, it's just the gap has gotten bigger and bigger with every day that's gone on, because you know, these guys are, they're Ferraris when it's all said and done, and every NBA team wants to have talents like this in their gym.
No, Ferraris. I mean, they may look alike, but they definitely have different strengths. And, you know, I think people are getting to know these two a lot more. A lot of people know about Victor Wembanyama, but tell us about one player that you think could make an immediate impact outside of, you know, the more familiar names.
Cassidy, it has to be Jordan Hawkins. You know, we all saw what he did in his NCAA tournament run. You know, helping UConn win the national championship. He's the best movement shooter in this draft. His ability to come off screens with fantastic footwork, body control, you know, shooting mechanics, range, the quickness of his release. He's gone into workouts here and really helped himself with coaching staffs in particular. NBA coaches are looking at him and they're saying, we want this guy either coming off our bench or playing with our starters, because we don't need plays run for him. He's going to be able to score 12, 15 points every single night just by being out there on the floor, just with the level of shooter that he is. Cassidy, we know how important shooting is in the NBA, and Jordan Hawkins could very well be the best shooter in this draft.
All right, so pay attention to him. But before we let you go, is there a sleeper in this draft that we should really be paying attention to?
Jet Howard from Michigan is a little bit of a polarizing name among NBA scouts. People that saw him early in the season said, this guy is a top 10 pick. He was absolutely phenomenal the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. And then he got injured. He sprained his ankle, and then he sprained his other ankle. We didn't see the best of him in Big Ten play. The more that he's been out for workouts, the more people have been able to get to know him, understand his pedigree, being the son of, you know, an NBA great like Juwan Howard, seeing, you know, him as 6'8" guy who can handle the ball, who can pass it, who can shoot it. You know, everybody in the NBA is looking for players like this.
Thank you, Jonathan. Don't miss Jonathan's extensive coverage leading up to the draft across our ESPN networks. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by Xfinity Mobile, the best-kept wireless secret.
Welcome back. Did you guys see this tattoo, Michael Malone?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
he is on
great.
One lately, huh?
I don't have any tattoos. See. Austin, I know you do. Do you have any tattoos that you regret?
I definitely
do. I don't know if he regrets it.
So oh good. Yosemite Sam.
It looks like one of those peel-off ones.
It does.
I think it's
it
real,
does.
Though. I think that's real.
Austin, you said you do have a tattoo you regret?
I got a couple.
Okay, you don't want to share?
Look, you know what? Mike Malone is out here living his best life as he should. First, we saw the chain around his neck with
yep.
the shades on.
Is Bruce
you know what
Brown
I'm saying,
going
parade.
Anywhere?
Yeah, yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, like, hey, he could turn up. He could turn up. Look at him
flexing.
Look like he about to go do a versus battle.
He really does.
My gosh.
He's about to have some summertime fun because
you know what? Tattoo, mm-hmm. The best tattoos are the ones you say you're going to get and then think better of it in the moment, right? I almost did that in college. If we make the World Series, I'm going to get Stanford a tattooed on my arm. We made the World Series. I was like, no, not doing it.
But you're right about the choice. It was a vintage Nuggets
yeah.
tattoo. You know, like that's a particular choice. But do you, Mike Malone,
yeah.
Michael Malone, you know, you earned it.
And it was small.
For Ramona, Austin, I'm Perk.